Let us open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus that, Lord, you would guide us. Lord, you would lead us. Lord, you would grant us grace sufficient. Heavenly Father, I am asking in the mighty name of Jesus, let your will be done. I pray that intercessors of a different order and kind will arise through this particular session and meeting. I am asking in the mighty name of Jesus that you'd activate and awaken things within their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, amen and amen. So I want us to read an interesting portion of scripture in beginning. And also, seeing we are doing an online meeting, I would really, really appreciate it. If you can use the in-call messages to resound anything that is blessing you. Okay, so I want us to start with 1 Corinthians. Okay, today we are talking about, what was my subject again? Doc?
intercession.
Oh, Lord. Okay, this is where teachers say, what did I say I'm talking about? Anyway, I know. But typically, I think I want to address more in the light of discovering your intercessory gift, okay? That is what I want to talk about, discovering your intercessory gift. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 4 to 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 4 to 5. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 5, and it reads, and I'll go ahead of you. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributing them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Okay, so there are diversities of gifts. There are different types of gifts. There are different expressions of the same gift, but it is the person of the Holy Spirit that is working. Okay, the same God that is working. Okay, in all of them. Now, we are going to talk about the gift of intercession because, you know, many times when we talk about intercession, what we tend to discover is that people just look at intercession as one whole blanket thing. People look at intercession as, you know, one whole, you know, general thing. However, you must realize that intercession is in diversities. It expresses itself differently, okay, in different spheres. Not every intercessor is the same. There are different types of intercessors, okay? Pastor Cham may be a different type of intercessor. You may be a different type of intercessor. The same is true. Let me give you an example before we go to intercession. For example, one of the things you will realize where the evangelistic gift is concerned, maybe let's talk about evangelism, okay? You will realize that firstly, number one, everyone is called to witness, okay? Everyone is called to witness and fulfill the Great Commission. However, you would discover that there are people who have got an unusual burden, okay, for soul winning. Okay, they have an unusual burden for soul winning. Meanwhile, everyone who is a believer and is a child of God is called to the ministry of intercession. However, you would discover that there are some who God has given the unusual burden to actually win souls. Okay, so some of them you will find their evangelism is more tailor-made on the crusade ground. Okay, some you will find their evangelism is tailor-made for crusade grounds. Some of them you will find their evangelistic approach is tailor-made for institutions where they, you know, they work. Okay, some of them you discover their evangelism is tailor-made for, you know, the itinerant ministry where they preach in different churches. That's how they express evangelism. So it's the same gift, but finding expression differently, okay, in each and every individual. Same gift, but finding expression differently in each and every individual. So you will discover there's all these different expressions. The same is true even with healing. You will discover that in the context of healing, there are many people who've got diversities and different expressions as far as healing goes. you would discover, for example, there are certain people, their specification in the area of healing is more with emotional healing. When there are people that are emotionally broken, they will have revival because that's where their specificity is as far as healing goes. Then there are different people, you will discover their specificity is in the area of deaf ears. Theirs is deaf ears. You will always notice that when they are deaf ears, they will have a revival. Okay, they will have a revival because their specificity in the gift of healing. It's the same gift of healing. However, it's got diversities. So some people you will find they've got a gift of healing, but for them, their strength in the gift of healing is that they know how to give expression and exercise their faith more strongly when it's blind eyes. Okay, there's a man I remember we used to watch on TV. I can't remember his name. Must be Ernest something. Okay, I can't really remember his name. You know, his own specificity was deaf and dumb. The deaf and dumb. Literally, you would watch him minister to the deaf and dumb as though he's ministering to headaches. You know, baby, baba, baby, baba. You know, can you hear? Yes. You know, can you speak? You know, there was all those things he'd do. Okay, and for him, that was very, very easy for him to actually minister. Okay, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. That was a common phrase during the Voice of Healing movement. Okay, so you will find that there are people with diversities. Even doctors, you find some deal with the heart, some deal with the eyes, some deal. So there are different diversities of the same gift, but giving expression differently. It's the same gift, but giving expression differently. So the same is true. Even when we talk about intercession, we can say we are all intercessors, but there are different kinds of intercessors. There are different types of intercessors. And this is what I really want to look at, especially in the area of interceding, standing in the gap for others. What types of intercessors exist in the area of standing in the gap for different types of people? Okay, so I'm going to give you just 4 points, then I'll give you some concluding remarks, and then we'll be done for the night. Okay, I'll give you 4 types of intercessors. Okay, 4 types of intercessors. These are not the only types, but for the sake of this teaching, I'll give you 4 types of intercessors, and you may discover that you will find yourself amongst these 4 types. So I'm helping you discover your intercessory gift, because we are all intercessors, yes, but how is your intercessory gift giving expression? How is your intercessory gift manifesting? Where is your intercessory gift strengthened in? So the first type of intercessor is what is referred to as a general intercessor. The first type of intercessor is referred to as a general intercessor. A general intercessor does not necessarily wait for a particular burden or leading or stirring to pray. A general intercessor intercedes for generally everything. Their burden is everything that has been presented to them as prayer point. For example, a general intercessor can typically just receive, for example, you just tell them that my auntie is sick. They have never met your auntie. They have never seen your auntie. A general intercessor will just begin to labor and pray as though they know your auntie. A general intercessor doesn't matter. They can be watching a program on TV, and as they are watching the program on TV, they say, oh, pray for these people. This is what's happening in Malawi. A general intercessor can take on that prayer point and begin to pray into it. Those are general intercessors. This is how they, in fact, if anything, general intercessors, because they take on anything that they feel comes as prayer points. You will discover general intercessors, for most part, are usually looking for what to pray for. Sometimes they can post in a group, who wants to be prayed for? They'll go on WhatsApp and say, you know, if you have a prayer point, text me. They are always looking for things to pray for. General intercessors are not like the other intercessors I'll talk about. For them, they can pray into everything generally. They just want to pray. That's general intercessors. That's why they look for prayer points, because they can pick anything and begin to pray into it. They can pick anything and begin to pray into it. Okay, when you need someone to pray for you, and you are burdened that someone pray for you, in many cases you may need a general intercessor. Because if you go to the other group of intercessors I will mention, they may not take your prayer point seriously, because for them they operate differently. So when you have a prayer point and you want someone to pray into it, okay, for most part you may need a general intercessor. General intercessors are the types that can even pick, you know, if maybe your church writes prayer points and people put them at the altar, a general intercessor can get all those prayer points, just start praying, oh Lord, this name. They don't know the people, they just begin to intercede. That's a general intercessor. And some of you may fall in that category. You don't mind whatever is thrown at you. You just hear, oh no, Pastor Cham, you know, this is what's happening with him. You take it up. You just see something happening, you take it up. That's a general intercessor. When I used to go to the Bread of Life prayer room, there was a man I remember we used to pray with. He was a general intercessor. I mean, the man can pray. The man has no prayer point of his own. He just picks any prayer point. Sometimes he's in the prayer room stopping people, asking them, do you have a prayer point? Do you have a prayer request? Okay. Do you have a prayer point? That's the type of person he is. He will be stopping people. Do you have a prayer point, sir? And his voice was hoarse because he's always praying. Man of God, sir. Do you have a prayer point? And I'd say, okay. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing. Okay, man of God, don't worry. We'll pray into it. He would always walk with like a book. Okay, he reminded me of Nicole walking with her book in the marathon. Okay, he'd always walk, every time he's got a book, he's always writing prayer points. You know, by the time he's getting into the prayer room, he would have picked prayer points from the guard at the gate, the sister he met as he's walking, the person he met at the fountain, the person he met at the foyer. By the time he's arriving in the prayer room, he has picked up prayer points of about 10 people. Oh, so, you know, man of God, what are you believing God for? You write it down. I remember he is the one that facilitated for us to move from Unza. I remember we were meeting at Unza Side Chapel. He met me. He says, man of God, where are you meeting from? Where is the church? I said, we are at Unza Side Chapel. He said, oh, okay. Is that where you want to be? I said, no, it's a problem. It's a problem there because, you know, they are neighboring churches. And so sometimes that becomes a burden. There's a lot of noise. Yes, he's the man that moved us from Unza. So he said, oh, you're at Unza. I need to move you. He writes the prayer point down. And then he goes. He prayed. I think after a month or so, we shifted and found a venue rather at Mika Lodge, which was better looking than the Unza one. So he came to me, he says, man of God, how are you? He says, are you still at Unza? I said, no, we actually moved. We are now at Mika. He now went back to his book and ticked it. And he said, this prayer point is done. What's your next prayer point? So I said, man of God, I'm already tired of Mika because it's becoming small also. And we are having some challenges there. So he said, move, man of God. This is how he wrote it. You know, move, man of God. From Mika to new venue. Okay, so I forgot about him. You know, we went on, we were gathering at Mika for some time. Then, you know, we moved to Kamloops Event Center. The venue was so easy to find that many pastors were telling me, how did you find the place? Okay, how did you actually find the place? Because we've been looking for a venue, we've never seen it. Okay, I said, no, we just went. Some were even telling me we would go there. The landlord would say we're not accommodating any. How did it happen? So I was failing to explain how it happened because they were not accommodating churches. When we went there, it was just easy. Okay, then I met him again at Bread of Life. He was sitting at the fountain. He saw me. He says, man of God, how are you? I said, I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you? Man of God, it's good to see you. This time around, he's the one that now told me, I am sure I have already moved you. I said, are you still at Mika? I said, no, we are now at Kamloops. He said, yes, I already moved you and I ticked it already. So he goes to his book and he ticks it again. You know, he's a general intercessor. So now I'm looking for him because I'm tired of Kamloops Event Center. I so I'm now looking for him, but he has now become scarce. I am telling you, in your day of trouble, you will need a general intercessor because a general intercessor can never know you. He may never know you whatsoever, but the general intercessor can literally intercede for you as though his life literally depends on it. That's how general intercessors work. Okay, that is why, you know, we are really, really looking for this. I'm looking for him. You know, I love intercessors, especially some of them that operate at this level. I just love how they operate. Okay, they can pick on, you can just call them and say, I have this prayer point, pray for it until something happens. A general intercessor would take on this prayer point. I never knew his name, by the way. I've never bothered to ask for his name. He knows my name. Pastor Chilombo, how are you, sir? Okay, you know, he would take on prayer points. Oh, your wife is in the army. Ah, you write it. And ooh, you may never know that people that are changing the world are in the closet. And when you see him, he just looks rugged. You know, sometimes you want to give him money for a haircut. He's just got, you know, hair all over. He's just looking rugged. But when the man sits on a prayer point, okay, and you know, I've avoided saying this in many times, but you know, his book, you know, literally the pages have got stains of spit because he's always praying. I saw his book. I didn't even want to look at it. It's got stains of spit because he's always opening pages and praying over things, praying over people, praying over things, praying. He's a different kind of intercessor, you know. He's a different kind of intercessor. I don't know if my mom is in this meeting, but I think she knows him. Maybe Chela, I don't know, but I think mom may know him facially. You know, he's always in the morning devotions. You hear him from afar. Lord, remember Thelma. Lord, remember that sister that I met. Sometimes you forget the name. Remember the sister I met. Man, Lord, remember Pastor Chilombo. He will be praying over people you don't know. He just, any prayer, and when prayer points finish, he'll go on, as you are knocking off from the prayer room, he'll chase you. My brother. It's like his burden is to pick prayer. I don't know, you know, many of you, I don't Kalamara balaba. You know, many of you run away from prayer. He is chasing people. My brother, I know you are done praying. One time he chased me. My brother, I know you are done praying, but do you have any prayer point? I said, no, I finished praying over anything. So he says, no. Okay, my brother, seeing you don't have any prayer point, I'll pray for you and I'll pray for clarity over your assignment. I said, oh, fine. Okay, fine. It is well. Okay, the next time he met me, he said, you are an apostle. You've got an apostolic grace. And the things you will be doing, there are things that many people will be doing. You will be pioneering. You will be digging wells. That's the mantle I'm saying. Man of God, this is a strange grace. You know, the way he was looking at me, as though he's seeing something I'm not seeing. He would sit down. He would look at me and, you know, for this. Let me turn on my camera so that you see me. Sometimes, is my camera on? Okay, great. Sometimes he would do this, then he would look at me and say, oh, wow, man of God, do you know what you are carrying? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what I am carrying. You know, all I know is, and he's a general intercessor. Okay, let's move. I'm starting to get too excited. You know, there are people that are looking at you and you, that's why some of you don't know what you just walk around chimpwena looking. You don't know the mantles you carry. Such a mighty man of intercession. Okay, so he's a general intercessor. General intercessors take on literally any prayer point. Okay, they can take on any prayer point, general intercessor. Everything that you throw at them, they can take it on. Okay, then there is a second type of intercessor. Let's stop laughing. Let's move. There's a second type of intercessor. That intercessor is called a crisis intercessor. Okay, this second type of intercessor in intercession is called a crisis intercessor. A crisis intercessor prays almost exclusively on assignment, and the assignment usually comes from the Father. Okay, a crisis intercessor prays almost exclusively on assignment, and the assignment usually comes from the Father. Crisis intercessors usually don't respond well to random requests for prayer from individuals. Let me say that again. Crisis intercessors usually don't respond well to random requests from prayer for prayer from individuals. Most of them would be bored with a prayer list. That's crisis intercessors. They are usually bored with a prayer list. They usually don't respond well with someone telling them, pray for this. That's not how crisis intercessors behave. And that's not how they intercede. Usually, crisis intercessors love to draw near to God, spend time in prayer, and hear what the Lord wants them to pray for. So when you meet a crisis intercessor and you need a general intercessor, you may be doomed. Because a crisis intercessor will not pray so much for you. They only pray into issues they feel the Lord is burdening them to pray. A crisis intercessor can spend 2 hours, okay, in the presence of the Lord. And then the Lord says, begin to pray for China. Okay, begin to pray for China. And then when a crisis intercessor hears God say, begin to pray for China, a crisis intercessor can be praying for China as though they've received a visa. Okay, that's where crisis intercessors lie. They don't respond. So you may tell them, pray for me. They may mention you, you know, as they remember you, Lord, remember Bupe Chikumbi, remember Diana, remember Marriott, and then they forget. And then they move to other things. But when your name comes on their heart in the place of prayer, crisis intercessors can stay on your life until something changes. Crisis intercessors are usually summoned by the Lord when there is something that must be done. So he places a burden on these groups of people, okay? And then they begin to pray over an issue. That is what a crisis intercessor would usually do. Once revealed, once the prayer point has been revealed, they can hang on that matter until it's resolved. That's how crisis intercessors behave. Once a matter has been revealed, they can hang on it until it's resolved. Sometimes a crisis intercessor will be interceding and all of a sudden they hear the marathon won't be successful. The marathon won't be successful. Pray into the marathon. A crisis intercessor will take that thing personal because they respond to crisis. They are God's emergency guys. When God wants to do something, he puts a burden on them because for them, they are more, they lie more towards the promptings of the Holy Spirit. A general intercessor's burden is typically that there is a prayer need. I don't need to hear God. You know, when general intercessors pray, the way general intercessors pray is that they pray in light of, is there not a cause? Like David said, when you know, when Goliath was insulting, the children of Israel and the God of Israel, you know, he says, what are we waiting for? Do we need to hear God? Is there not a cause? That's a general intercessor. A general intercessor wants to act on the account that, you know, we don't need to hear from God. There is a situation here. Let's pray into it. Why are you waiting to hear God to tell you that let's pray? Why are you waiting for God to tell you to respond? Just pray. When the prayer point has been given, just pray into it. That's a general intercessor. And yes, Nicola is a general intercessor. You can send Nicola a prayer point any day, any time. She will just take it on in prayer, write it down somewhere and pray. Crisis intercessors are different. Crisis intercessors, you can even tell them that I am about to die here. They will just say, oh, okay. They say, Lord, remember this lady in Jesus' name. Amen. Then they move on to other things. However, when the prompting comes, a crisis intercessor can take on your matter. I'm telling you, they can take on your matter and begin to labor into it. Begin to tarry into it. Begin to pray into it. That's what crisis intercessors do. They respond to the promptings of God. God will give them something to pray into and they will pray into it. There's a lady, I don't know if you guys know Christy Graham. Christy Graham had a burden for Albania, okay? That was before 1991, okay? Christy Graham had a burden for Albania, okay? Which, before 1991, Albania was the world's most anti-Christian nation, okay? Okay, Albania before 1991 was the world's most anti-Christian nation. So the Lord then placed a burden on a lady called Christy Graham. And Christy Graham began to pray for Albania until in 1991, Albania opened up, okay, to the gospel and it opened up to the to Christians, because a lady, the lady tarried for years over Albania. She's a crisis intercessor. There was a crisis in Albania, which is that it was the world's most anti-Christian nation. So the Lord gave a burden to Christy Graham, and she began to pray until Albania opened up. Where do we find crisis intercessors in the Bible? Colossians 4:12, Epaphras is a crisis intercessor. Colossians chapter number 4 and verses number 12. We find a guy called Epaphras there who was an intercessor. Okay, there was a great need for intercession in Colossae. And then we see how that Epaphras took it on. Colossians chapter number 4, verses number 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Okay, so that's with regards Epaphras. So, you know, Paul is actually vouching for Epaphras. These guys are in prison, and Paul is writing to the church in Colossae saying, listen, right now I am in prison with a guy called Epaphras, but every time when we hear him praying at night, he's just talking about the church in Colossae. You know, the church in Colossae. So Paul is now writing to the church in Colossae saying, listen, there's a guy that I am in prison with right now. I mean, the guy is with me in chains. But every time when we hear him pray at 01, when we hear him pray, I'm paraphrasing, when we hear him pray at 02, he's always praying for you. And the reason why Paul is addressing it is seemingly that maybe that was not their urgent prayer need. But then he notices that every time we hear Epaphras, Lord, that they may stand perfect, they may stand fully matured, that they may be assured. You know, he's just praying. He's just praying. And Paul was so marveled that he had to tell the people in Colossae that, guys, there is a man here who prays for you, that you may stand fully mature and fully assured. Okay, so that was the like of Epaphras. He was a crisis intercessor. So when you are in a place where you need general intercession, don't get a crisis intercessor. Okay, when you are in crisis and the burden comes upon different types of people that are crisis intercessors, just share your point with them. Okay, share it. They will labor. Okay, so know when you need a crisis intercessor, know when you need a general intercessor. For example, I don't work well with general intercession. I'm not a general intercessor. I'm more of a crisis intercessor. And I know it sounds bad as a pastor, you know, but I'm more of a crisis intercessor. And the way in which I intercede is that when a burden lays on me over an individual, I can even stop eating for your sake. That's how I respond as a Christ. I can stop eating for the sake of a church that I do not know, because I'm a crisis intercessor. Okay. I respond. I can. You may be wondering, have they invited you to preach? Why are you praying for these people like this? Why are you praying for this meeting? It's because as I was praying, my Lord told me, you must intercede for that church. You must intercede for that ministry. Okay. So I respond more as a crisis intercessor. So something will happen with me as I am in prayer. A burden will lay strongly on me. And when it lays strongly on me, I can clear everything in my way. Anything that which must die. Just for your sake, just to make sure breakthrough comes for a church, just to make sure breakthrough comes for a ministry, a business, a family. That's how I operate, crisis intercessor. And the reason why crisis intercessors are God's emergency guys is because they are quick to respond to burdens. That is why they are crisis intercessors. A crisis, should they just feel something about something? You will see a crisis intercessor say, you know, I met a crisis intercessor. I remember, you know, many of you have not really, you know, let me not say that, but many of you have not really grown up, have not really grown up with interceding people. So some of you are starting to learn prayer now, and it's a good thing that you are learning it now, but many of you have not really grown up with interceding people. That's why I'm telling you, all this cuckoo Christianity, there are people changing the world in prayer. You know, many of you just want to, you know, vibe, and you just want, no, that's why I've been against the Babylonian culture and all those things. I've been speaking against them, and people have been attacking me, because the reason why I'm against these things is that there's a lot life in the spirit out there. When you learn these things, you'll be so shocked. You'll be so shocked at how people, but people just want to vibe. You know, when you discover this, the things I'm teaching you, aren't they entertaining to do? To learn that you are a crisis intercessor, to learn that you're God's emergency guy. I met a guy who has got this strong burden of intercession as God's emergency guy, but for him it's for nations. Sometimes we can be in a prayer meeting and a burden comes on him. He begins to pray and he says, "Let us pray for Israel. Let us pray for Jamaica." And I'm like, "Why are we praying for Jamaica?" Jamaica, namba kubisha ku Jamaica na ishiwa ko manifest. Who do I know in Jamaica? "Let's pray for Jamaica." And he'll begin to mention the Caribbean islands. Estella, please mute your microphone. He'll begin to mention the Caribbean islands, Trinidad and Tobago, Lord. And sometimes his accent as he's interceding will become like the people in the Caribbean islands. He'll begin to speak like the Jamaicans. You know, "Lord, I pray for the Jamaicans. I pray, Lord, for the people in Trinidad and Tobago. I pray." And the burden of intercession becomes so real that his accent, literally his accent becomes like the people from those places. That's a crisis intercessor. Something is about to strike Jamaica. Something is about to strike Haiti. And he begins to intercede. And you're wondering, where do you get the burden to pray for Haiti? Where do you get the burden to pray for Trinidad and Tobago? Many of you don't even know if you have any relatives. Where do you get that burden from? Another guy would receive burdens over nations, that when the burden over different nations would come, he'd begin to speak languages. Abigail, please turn off your microphone. He'd begin to speak languages, okay? He'd begin to speak languages, not tongues, languages, okay? I remember one youth camp, the guy started speaking pure Chinese. There's another lady, I don't know if Simon Peter is here, because I would love people that were in these meetings. I don't know if Njavwa, I remember we carried Njavwa. My sister was still in one of the cars. Still, I thought she had died, still. In that kind of, oh my Lord, that is why we need sometimes 1 week marathons. When the saturation point becomes high, you will see different strains of intercession. One girl began to write pure Chinese. She has never been to China before. Njavwa, I don't know if you remember that Chinese, you know, the people that were writing in Chinese and the like. The girl began to write pure, that's a crisis intercessor, writing Chinese, you know, talking about, you know, I don't know, Doc, you know, the cities in China, Mazhangzhou and Xinjiang and all those places. The girl was writing pure Chinese, speaking of revival in China, you know, and people are interpreting, saying she's saying that a fire is coming to China. She's saying that this is happening. Another girl began to speak pure French. I remember this has happened to me before when we were praying in Emmasdale with Ndemena. You know, I began to speak pure French. I've never gone to France before. You know, those are crisis intercessors. And when the burden becomes strong, God would even allow them to begin to pray in that particular language. That's why this life, I am telling you, it's don't settle for just, no, church is not fun. When you start doing church the way it is in the Bible, then you will realize that this church thing is fun. This, you have not spoken fluent Chinese before. Have you read of the man Surprise Sithole, the man that wrote Voice in the Dark? You know, in intercession, while interceding for different regions, the Lord imparted about 73 languages that he has never learned. 73 languages imparted that he can still speak up until now. His name is Surprise Sithole, okay? He works a lot with Heidi Baker and those people. Okay, supernatural languages. This Christian thing is not boring. Okay, it's not boring. You are the one that is not just doing it the way. Okay, so that's a crisis intercessor. I need to move. Okay, I need to move. That is why, that is why even as we are doing these marathons and the like, be part of them to fund revival, to pray for revival. Even when the day we will say we want to just do 1 week, that 1 week, you see the prayer power that comes from just 24 hours. Imagine if we saturate ourselves just 1 week, you will see things. People will write things. People, a lot of things will happen. So, Mayase Banda, if you could turn off your camera, that would be great. Thank you so much, Ma. I would really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much. God bless you. Okay, number three. The third type of intercessor, okay? The third type of intercessor is called a personal intercessor. The third type of intercessor is called a personal intercessor. Personal intercessors have a burden to pray for a specific person. Your burden is just to pray for a specific person. That is your assignment, personal intercessor. Okay, your burden becomes a man. Your burden becomes a man. It seems like you. I'm not this one. Definitely, the Lord deliver you. Your burden becomes a man. Steve had been my personal intercessor. I don't know if the burden is still strong, but Steve had been my personal intercessor from my university days. Steve can go on a 4-day fasting, and all he is doing is praying for Pastor Cham. That's all he's doing. For 4 years, Steve would just pray for my life. That's all he does. He just prays. 4 years of my stay in school. Oh, he's still here. Anyway, you see, he's still here. Steve just pray. And, I remember sometimes I would wonder, when we do Chosen Generation conferences, he would travel. He's not a special guest. He would travel. I went to Muflira. He traveled. Typically just praying for me, praying for my life, praying for my life, praying for my life. I've also seen that alive for a period in Thelma's life. Personal intercessor. I've seen that in Nicola's life as well. Personal intercessor. Just praying for me, praying for me, praying for me, praying for me, praying for me. People like Nicola, people like Thelma. Nicola prays for everything over my head. What do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? Thelma would do every type of warfare, fight every witch in the city just for my life. Okay, fight every witch. No one is pushing. I saw people go for 12-hour prayer marathons to pray for me. I have seen that happen. 12-hour prayer marathons. Okay, Nicola received an instruction in the last 24-hour marathon, and her instruction was that in this 24-hour prayer marathon, the entire 24 hours, pray for Pastor Cham. So that book you saw Dr. Nicola with, she was just praying for Pastor Cham in that 24-hour marathon. Personal, when that one comes on you, when that one, Brenda, please, your microphone. When that one comes on you, you will realize that your life becomes dependent, okay, on interceding for another individual. You just pray. That's all you do. Personal intercessors. So some people have been given an assignment to pray, okay? I'm in a prayer group where God has given me. And these intercessory burdens can be lifelong. They can be seasonal. So like for now, there is someone God has given me a burden to pray for in this particular season. So I established and erected their a prayer thing. I told them, okay, I told the woman of God, find the people that are close to you that you feel can intercede for your life. And let me arrange them. I'll teach them how to intercede for a person. And we mobilize that group. So we've been praying, okay? We've been praying every night, 22 to 22:30, 22 to every night, whether it's Sunday, 22 to 22:30, just praying for that woman of God, just praying for her, praying for her, praying for her. It's a seasonal burden for me. God confirmed it when I began that it's seasonal. And at some point when battles are won, I will let go. But it's a seasonal burden for this particular time. And in that, that's when I saw that people have got different intercession people have got different burdens. People in the meeting are crying. praying for someone. I then said, Mama, Mama, this is truly a personal bed. We were in Google Meet last night and people are weeping, crying. Lord, not to kudila kwa tata, you are crying to the, Lord, remember, Lord, this cannot continue. Wellings in the spirit beyond what I can remember. So I called Diana, is it today or the same night? I said, Diana, maybe that's why I'm dealing with too much warfare. You know, you are not crying when you are doing the personal intercession for me. There are people that are crying in this. Kalamara baba. Personal intercessors. Where do we see that in the scriptures? Paul had personal intercessors. Let me show you Paul's personal intercessors. Of course, he had many, but there are two women that prayed for Paul in an unusual way. Okay. Tamulerila bene Mariot. No wonder by konka konka. 1, 2, fiden shupa shupa. Tamulerila. People are crying. Lord, Lord, remember. This cannot be. Wailing women. I said, Lord, give people such burdens for my destiny. That's why Doc doesn't want that intercession. Okay, so Philippians 4, 2 to 3. Okay, Philippians chapter number 4, verses 2 to 3. Where do we see this intercession in the Bible? It says, I plead with you, Odia, and I plead with Syntyche. I can't remember how to pronounce that. I was listening to it the whole day on audio Bible, but I've forgotten the pronunciation. Euodia and Syntyche. Okay, so let me read that again. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, so there were many intercessors. There was Clement, there was Euodia and Syntyche. Okay, so what Paul is now saying is that, yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended. Okay, Jason, kindly turn off your camera. They have contended. These women were contending for Paul, contending for him to go after God, contending for him to labor. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, contending. Euodia and Syntyche, okay, including Clement and other people that were not mentioned. They were personal intercessors, okay, for Paul. Another place we see it in church history with regards intercession, we see it with Father Nash and Abel Clary. Father Nash and Abel Clary interceded for Charles Finney, okay? But more strongly, Father Nash, okay? Father Nash, you know, after leaving church ministry and all, decided to commit himself to pray for Charles Finney, okay? His name is Father Daniel Nash. And the best book on the biography of Father Daniel Nash is by a man called Paul J. Reno, okay? So when I give out these titles, read the books, okay? So that you're just not saying, Pastor, you are deep, Pastor, you are deep. Some of the things I'm talking about, they are just in books, okay? So the book is called Prevailing Prince of Prayer, okay? It's written by Paul J. Reno. Prevailing Prince of Prayer by Paul J. Reno. It's a biography of a man called Father Daniel Nash. He had such an unusual grace for intercession. He would pray for Charles Finney's meetings. The secret to the power of Charles Finney's meetings in the Second Great Awakening came from a man who would intercede. That man was called Father Daniel Nash. Father Daniel Nash would go 3 days ahead of Charles Finney. If Charles Finney is going to a city, Father Daniel Nash will get on a train. He will be praying through every city, praying through every town that Finney will pass through. And when he gets to the place where Finney will be holding a meeting, he would begin to intercede for 3 days. And sometimes he would gather and get another guy called Abel Clary, and they would begin to intercede for Finney's meetings with Abel Clary. Sometimes they would book a lodge and intercede there for 3 days and not eat anything. That the lodge owners sometimes, or the motel owners, whichever one it was, you know, sometimes would begin to complain that these men lodged into this place and they have not eaten anything. They have not come out. All that they are doing is interceding. All that they are doing is praying. Okay, they had a very weird spirit of intercession and groaning. That, you know, it was spoken of Finney, that Finney was passing through a town. And when Finney was passing through a town, the power of God hit that town and people began to repent. The train did not stop in that town. The train just passed through that town and people fell and began to repent. But that power was generated in the place of prayer, okay, by a man called Father Daniel Nash. One time, Father Daniel Nash was asked to bless the food. When he cried out, he said, "Oh Lord," the power hit the table and no one ate the food. That's the dimension of intercession he had, okay? So his own personal burden was to intercede for Charles Finney. He had such prayer power. The prayer power he had was so strong, but it was for Charles Finney. His only level of intercession was with regards Charles Finney. He interceded for Charles Finney. And when Father Daniel Nash died, Charles Finney stopped ministry maybe after 2 to 3 years or so. I can't really remember. That's how much he depended on this prayer partner. That is how much he depended on this personal intercessor. Okay. When God, you know, when God gives you a personal intercessor, treasure them. It may be the reason why your meetings are powerful. Some of the things you are seeing Pastor Cham do, people are just saying, "No, Pastor Cham, you know, the more grace on you, man of God, you are doing mighty things, you are doing mighty things." There are people that have given themselves as personal intercessors, that some of them, if they died today, if God does not recruit another, the ministry over my life may crash. That's what personal intercessors do, okay? That's what personal intercessors do. I could share more stories of men of God, even locally, who have got personal intercessors, but I don't want to go into that particular one. Let me leave that issue. Okay. Then, the fourth type of intercessor. Okay. The fourth type of intercessor. The fourth type of intercessor is called warfare intercessor. These are warfare intercessors. Why are you laughing? These are warfare intercessors. That's the fourth kind. Okay, the fourth kind. This is where people like Thelma lie. That's the fourth kind. Warfare intercessors. These love warfare for no reason. For no reason they can love war. Some, you know... So warfare intercessors are called to engage the enemy in high-level spiritual warfare. So warfare intercessors are called to engage the enemy in high-level spiritual warfare. This is by far the most physically demanding level of intercession. It's the most physically demanding level of intercession and also the most dangerous. Okay, now it's quiet. This is by far the most physically demanding of them all, and also the most dangerous. Any mistake in warfare, okay, any mistake in warfare as a warfare intercessor can lead to your death. Okay, I've shared this more strategically in there's a podcast I did called Doing Warfare with Wisdom, something like that. Okay. I remember a group of friends and I. Now, this one is not just, you know, I know there are many of you who feel like you just say, "Hey, in the name of Jesus, die, 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 die." It's not like that. This one is strategic warriors. These are God's mighty men. They are at the forefront of warfare. When general intercessors remain home, when crisis intercessors are waiting for a special crisis, you know, when personal intercessors are praying for their personal people, warfare intercessors are willing to go. These are the types that are not just willing to fight, they are willing to die. Let me say that again. Warfare intercessors are not just willing to fight, they are willing to die. This is what makes them very violent and dangerous, because they didn't just sign up to fight. You know, a general intercessor can just sign up to fight. The moment things become hot and they begin to receive backlash by demonic entities, a general intercessor can say, our pastor, every time I pray for you, you know, demons attack me. Every time I pray for you, this happens. I have stopped. That's a general intercessor. But a warfare intercessor, once they receive a burden for you, they have signed up to die. They are saying, I'm not just willing to fight for this generation. I am willing to die for this generation so that this generation can be free. If it means my life should waste so that a generation can be free, I am willing to die on that altar. This is what these guys do. Warfare intercessors. Okay, they have signed up to die. Now, this is high level spiritual warfare, and you are engaging the enemy at high level, and you have to learn how to engage the enemy at high level. For example, let me give you a protocol. Okay, let me give you a protocol. When you engage principalities, it's just the grace of God that covers us. There is nowhere in the scripture where we are told to engage principalities directly. There is nowhere in the scriptures we are told to engage principalities directly. You are not allowed to engage principalities directly. Every time we do warfare, warfare on earth is reserved to men. Warfare in the heavens is reserved to angels. So when you are waging war with a principality over the nation of Zambia, don't engage the principality directly. Every mature warfare intercessor knows this. They will only engage the principality through the avenue of warring angels. So warfare intercessors are like commanders, okay? They can command an angelic army to wage war, because they know that warfare in the heavens is reserved to the angels. Every time you read about principalities, you will not find men engaging principalities directly. They always engage principalities or warfare in the heavens through the avenue of angels. So yours as a warfare intercessor is to mobilize angelic beings. There are many people that have died trying to engage a principality directly. I remember, I'll share this story again. I've shared it several times. I remember we were so zealous, myself. I can't remember if Arnold was there and another guy and some other, and Enoch and some other gentlemen. I remember we formed a group. If you have a prayers, if a kare twamba, so kare twamba kwesha if you have a prayers, if you. Okay, so I remember that we formed a group, okay, called Tongue Speaking Guys. Okay, that was the name of the group, Tongue Speaking Guys. Don't form that group if you're not ready. So we formed a group saying Tongue Speaking Guys, and then we decided that we are going to challenge the principality in the nation of Zambia and on the city of Lusaka. Okay. So we started prayers and we said, let's pick the most mystical time, the most mysterious time. What is the most mystical or mysterious time? Okay, we picked 24 hours. Okay, so we started interceding at 24. Kapala palaba. I come, but as Pastor, I wasn't Pastor Cham. I come, you know, as Cham Chilombo, a son of God. I challenge you, all you principality in Lusaka. I challenge you, all you the principality that sits over the nation. I came under myself. Oh, the next morning, chicken pox struck me. And I'm not saying this to bring fear. I'm trying to tell you how to do intercession with wisdom. That very morning, the very next morning, chicken pox struck me. They put calamine all over my body. There was calamine. You know that calamine, what do you call it? Is it calamine powder? Something like that. Calamine all over. I was white, as though I'm coming from a shrine. you know, instead of overthrowing shrines, I was looking like I'm coming from a shrine. Calamine all over pamenso. Ndemoneka kwati ninganga na mambika calamine all over. I said, what is this? And then I said, hey, this warfare thing. Then I paused. The other guy's malaria, bambi diarrhea, that could not stop. Okay, diarrhea, italeleka, diarrhea, 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 diarrhea. I said, hey, just mentioning. Now, I'm not telling you this to tell you that we can't overthrow principalities. What I'm trying to tell you is that there is a way you can mobilize an angelic army. Our warfare is usually ground level warfare. There's two levels of warfare. There's air level warfare and ground level warfare. Ground level warfare is what we do when we are evangelizing. That's ground level warfare. Okay? When we are casting out devils, that is ground level warfare. When we are ministering healing, that's ground level warfare. But then there is air level warfare. Air level warfare is usually what starts. You can't succeed on ground level warfare if you've not learned how to conduct air level warfare. So air level warfare is learning how to work with angelic armies to overthrow principalities and powers. And then when you subdue them at air level, then we can step in at ground level. Okay? You can listen to the podcast. I don't think I'll go into that particular thing so long. So these are warfare intercessors. However, they are also some of the most protected intercessors. They are the most protected intercessors because they are generals in the army of the Lord. So there is no army that will have its generals less protected. That is why you will find that warfare intercessors, while everyone is panicking, a witch is threatening a pastor and saying, I have given that pastor 2 days, he would die. A warfare intercessor is not moved. If anything, they will start drinking coffee. Okay, there's a time I was in school, a Satanist challenged me, one Kalitu girl just challenged me like this and said, you will see what I'll do to you. I was on a fast. I decided to break that fast because I can't allow a little Satanist to make me fast for 1 week. I broke the fast. I went to Hungry Lion and I forgot about the fast because I knew that warfare intercessors are some of the most protected intercessors because God will never leave his generals the least protected. Okay, so he also protects them. Now, warfare intercession requires a lot of spiritual knowledge, a lot of wisdom. Holiness is key in warfare intercession. If you don't know how to live holy, don't even try this warfare intercession. Demons will use that loophole to strike you. If you are still holding on to the enemy's products, don't even try this warfare intercession. The enemy will recognize that you are one of us and will strike you. The enemy will constantly be in the court of heaven saying, but this one, we will, morning. You know, you just wake up and you say, we are going to do territorial takeover. National prayer. This national prayer marathon that we have announced, it's warfare. It's not fun. It's warfare. The fact that you have said national prayer marathon, the warfare has become national. The demons we are fighting have become national. So it now means that when you say national prayer marathon, walk uprightly because demons are also looking for a loophole to strike. Okay? So these are warfare intercessors. They are very high level. Okay? They are needed for strategic tasks. Okay? You read, I know many warfare intercessors. The late Wagner, Cindy Jacobs, you know, these are warfare. They are when they begin to pray, you know, Dr. D.K. Olukoya, warfare intercession. He's a warfare man. Even scriptures where you are seeing romance, when he quotes it, he will remove warfare from it. Okay, these are warfare intercessors. Okay, these are warfare intercessors. So those are the four categories of intercession I will give you. Okay. So I don't know where you fall. I don't know where you find yourself in, but those are the four types of intercessors. The reason why I shared is so that you know. Now, let me give you four ways to explore, to kind of know where you lie. Someone may be saying, I don't know where I am, Pastor Chilombo. How can I know? Okay, number one, you can know through these five ways, and I'll give them quickly. Number one, what has Esther done? I now feel like going back. What's going on?
She says, "Oh, my praying for mine died too. Hello, she's dying, you see."
Praying for what? She's praying for... I'm trying to look for the comment, you guys. Okay, let me leave that matter. Maybe it's not my mind to see. Let me leave that one. Okay. Let's move. Let's move. That's why I missed you guys. So after I teach today, maybe I'll go for 4 weeks. Seeing you can miss me some. Yeah. Anyway, let's go. How do you kind of discover where you fall? Some of you are saying, I don't know where I fall. So how do you discover where you fall? Let me give you 5 ways to know where you fall. 5 ways to know where you fall. Number one, okay, now I want to know the comment. What was the comment, Doc?
It says, Thelma said, the way she prayed for her grandma and she died. And then it was the one praying for mine and she died.
Relax. No. She didn't need to repeat the comment. I've heard it. Hey. Okay, let's move, guys. I hope that was not on the recording what you were saying. Okay, great. So number one, how do you discover this? Okay, let's come back to order, commandos, order. If this is how you're going to be behaving, Mount Zion, I'm leaving you, all of you. I'm only going with the keyboard player and leaving all of you. We want you to go and behave. Okay, great. So you are saying, you are here and you are saying, Pastor Cham, okay, I don't really know what my intercessory gifting is or where it finds expression. How can I know? Number one, explore the possibilities. Exploring the possibilities is typically what we are doing. Okay, you've explored by getting to know. Okay, so you explore the possibilities. Number two, you experiment with the gift, okay? So you experiment, you see, okay, which one am I more alive in? Which one am I more active in? Okay, so you want to experiment with the gift. Number three, you want to examine your feelings, okay? Where do you feel most comfortable? Which one is more comfortable for you? Some of you, you will discover that when you hear people, I'm a prayer, but die, the word die becomes heavy in your mouth. You even know that you are not a warfare intercessor. Some of us, when people start saying die, we say die like the way we say I love you, Jesus. Die just comes easily, fluently. In the die. That's how die comes out in our mouth. You know, some of you are even scared. Say, no, the grace of God. You say, no. We have... Okay, let me leave that. Every time I go into this issue, okay, that's how you explore the possibilities. Okay, so by examining your feelings. It doesn't mean you can't do warfare as a general believer, but it may not really be your primary designation. Okay, it may not really be your primary designation. So you examine your feelings. Which one are you more comfortable with? Are you just happy when you're praying for a pastor somewhere? Are you just happy when you're praying for Pastor Cham? Maybe you're just Pastor Cham's personal intercessor. That brings you some... Examine your feelings. Or are you happy just picking whatever prayer point comes? Okay, and you can shuffle them. Some of them can be seasonal. Some of you're saying, me, I'm not here. Don't worry, God may move you to warfare, because the prayer power you have, you may discover that in the region you are in, you are the only one that can pray that long. And the only man qualified to challenge the forces of darkness in that region is a man that can pray for 24 hours. So they will now say, you have been recruited to go to the war front. The army is not equipped, but they say you are the only equipped man, so go. You are the only equipped woman, go. So even these 5-day fastings you are doing, you may be a warfare intercessor soon, because we need them. Okay, so examine your feelings. Number four, evaluate your effectiveness. Okay, evaluate your effectiveness. It will help you know where you lie. Evaluate your effectiveness. Okay, Evaluate your effectiveness. Where am I mostly effective? Am I effective when I'm praying for a man? Some of you, you are trying to move to warfare intercession, but what is working is just praying for Pastor Chav. Let me market myself some a bit. What is working is just praying for... You are trying to rush to being a warfare intercessor. But what is working for your life is just... When you pray for Pastor Cham, you see results. When you pray for Pastor Cham, he's being invited everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. It seems Pastor Cham is the man everyone wants. When you pray, Lord, open the doors for Pastor Cham. Just that week, you notice Pastor Cham is on this flyer. Pastor Cham is... It's because that's where your effectiveness is. Okay, so you may want to view your effectiveness. Some of you, you notice every time you just pray that which must, I don't know how you finish it yourselves. The moment you pray that one, things happen. You may find yourself, you are a warfare intercessor. The moment people are dealing with warfare, if they just involve you and you say, in the name of Jesus, every demonic force be stopped, it stops. Because maybe for you, you have that roar in the spirit, that lion roar, you know, lion groan. All I need is just one roar. You are the type that just shows up. When you make one roar, something stops. Okay? So examine where you are mostly effective. Okay? Or are you a general intercessor like the man I shared, talked about earlier? Okay? So evaluate your effectiveness. Then number 5, expect confirmation from the body of Christ. Expect confirmation from the body of Christ. That confirmation from the body of Christ can be people speaking about you. The same way we've spoken about different intercessors here, that can be the confirmation. Someone may just say, oh, Bupi, I've noticed you're more of a crisis intercessor. Oh, Doc, I've noticed you are a warfare intercessor. Oh, so-and-so, I've noticed this. Oh, Lukundo, yours is warfare. Oh, this one. So you are finding different people are speaking about where they notice you flow the best in. Okay, so when you notice people speaking about it, it's a confirmation. Other mature intercessors, other mature leaders, it's not which one you are picking, it's which one God calls you into or which one God is allowing you to function into. Don't try and go for the one that is sounding, dangerous. This one is sounding like it's for the true believers. No, each and every one of them is for mature people. It's not that warfare is for the mature ones. No, each and every one is for mature people. You can be a general intercessor and be the most mature believer. You can be a crisis intercessor and be the most mature believer. You can be a personal intercessor and be the most mature believer. You can be a warfare intercessor. Because, you know, this thing of which program is the most difficult has seeped into even Christianity. Remember when we were in school, people wanted to, medicine, ikari kuchira engineering. I remember I would argue with people, medicine, tima job, law, ni okosa, not engineering. So this has seeped into the church as well. So you find some people are trying to bully others. If in this warfare, we are the ones at the forefront. We are the ones destabilizing powers. We are, you know, I met a man. Okay, let me not say that. You may listen to the voice note. I mean, to the podcast. You never know. Okay, so it shouldn't be like that. At each level, just be faithful. Personally, I have flown in every one of the ones I've said. Okay, I've never been so active as a personal intercessor for someone. I don't know why. I've never been so active, but I have been a personal intercessor for, I think, one or two people. Maybe three now. I've been a personal intercessor. Usually they are ministers and it's seasonal. Okay. And it's seasonal, but I have seen myself operate in almost every area. If you're asking where am I more active in, I am more active as a crisis intercessor and as a warfare intercessor. That is where I'm more active in. Don't mind all this niceness. I'm speaking English. I'm saying the Lord is moving. The Lord is touching people. When I am home, I am a violent man. Okay, because I must allow for things to happen so that I can enjoy the presence of God freely in a meeting. Okay, so I wage war when I'm home, and then when I'm in a meeting, there is peace. Okay, so I operate more in warfare and I operate more as a crisis intercessor. That is where I work. So, I hope you've been blessed by the teaching and I hope you've picked up something. I hope you know where you are falling. and where God is calling you to intercede and be effective.